The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you experiencing grief? Grief is a universal, normal, and natural response to loss. But there can be harmful ways to deal with it. This is 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. People may tell us to move on and get over our loss. But what if we don't know how to do that? On our program, we'll help you get started and teach you how to process your grief in a healthy and safe way. Now, here's your host, Melody Dawn.
Hello, and welcome to 50 Shades of Grief. I'm your host, Melody Dawn. This program is about grief recovery and so much more. This program is designed to cause a universal heart awakening of wholehearted loving and living. You're not alone in your experience of loss and grief. We've created a universal community of listeners from the West Coast to the East Coast of Canada, throughout the United States and in the United Kingdom. This tells me that grief is universal, and people around the world are yearning to learn how to heal their broken heart so they can love and live again. I want to thank all of you for listening, for your feedback, and for sharing what you're learning with others. If you've been listening since the first week, I want to acknowledge you for continuing to tune in to your heart and to the program. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome. I want to acknowledge you for taking that first courageous step onto the path of your heart healing. This program has been designed to provide a safe space to talk about grief. By talking about grief and by sharing personal stories of grief recovery, we can normalize and naturalize the response to loss of any kind. Life isn't about avoiding, suppressing, or numbing pain. It's about embracing each loss experience and the natural emotional response that follows, as gracefully as a tree loses its leaves to make way for new life. In order to do this, you will need to unlearn your current coping strategies, and then learn to take a series of action steps to complete your unresolved grief. This is where my services can be beneficial. If you're ready to take the next step in your grief recovery, please send me an email at melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Everyone has a story of loss that has touched their heart in profound ways. It may be the loss of a loved one, the loss of career or finances, a loss of health, or a loss of hopes and dreams, maybe a loss of relationship, or a loss of trust and respect. The way you learn to integrate your loss experiences into your daily life makes you who you are. There is a universal belief that you should get over the painful experience versus go through it. However, as you learn to embrace and process the incomplete emotions of unresolved grief, your heart begins to heal. As you do this, you will feel a renewed sense of compassion for yourself and others. Once you heal your broken heart, you will have a new perspective on your own experience of loss, as well as the experience of others. Everyone can learn to heal their broken heart. It just takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before. Over the last 9 weeks, you've heard various people share their experiences of loss and their personal journeys through grief. These personal stories have been as unique and varied as the individuals and their emotions of grief. It's my hope that these stories will touch your heart in a way that inspires you to take action to heal your own broken heart. By now, you should have a good understanding of what grief is, the normal and natural reactions to significant emotional loss of any kind. This means grief is not limited to death and divorce, but includes any relationship breakdown, any life transition, any change in a familiar pattern or behavior. It's pretty clear that grief is universal and everyone will experience loss and grief in life. I've introduced you to a 37-year time-tested program that has proven to be 98% successful for anyone who is willing to be 100% emotionally honest. This is the grief recovery method, and it provides tools for life. Russell Friedman shared with us last week that the program works for most people, and there are some instances when there is more than just unresolved grief at play. This is when additional support and resources need to be consulted. You've heard some of the people I've worked with share how they felt physically lighter after completing the grief recovery method, and how they've gone on to realize their personal and professional dreams. You've heard how adults have completed the unresolved grief that they've carried forward from childhood, especially those who were children of divorce. You've heard how becoming emotionally complete has changed, improved, and strengthened current relationships. You've learned about the six myths of grief and how the suppressed emotions of unresolved grief can lead to physical and mental health issues over time. We had two special episodes, one specific to grief in the workplace and another specific to when children grieve. This tells you that grief occurs at home, in the workplace, and in the classroom. Loss is unavoidable, and yet we all try to avoid, suppress, and numb the emotions of grief. If you haven't listened to the earlier episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen. When your heart decides it's time to heal, please contact me. Together, we will design a personalized program that is right for you. I'd love to hear what you're noticing, what you've learned, or what you're doing differently as a result of tuning in to your heart and this program. Please send me an email at melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. This week's episode is titled Grief's Wisdom. We're being joined by Judy Brizendine. Judy is an author, blogger, and a speaker, and a woman with a passionate mission that developed as a result of a tragic loss. The statement, "Out of our deepest pain comes your greatest gift," describes her experience. Her award-winning books, Stunned by Grief and Stunned by Grief Journal, gently guide you through chaos and confusion of grief in a realistic, revealing, personal, and practical way. She's dedicated to changing the way people view one of the toughest experiences everyone will meet by sharing her experience with grief. Judy's goal is to meet you where you are and connect with you in such a way that you'll know you can make it through the experience and discover a new sense of hope and direction. It is only traveling through the experience of grief that we can learn to see, hear, and feel grief's wisdom. Judy, welcome to 50 Shades of Grief. I want to thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. Each week I've had my guests start by sharing their own personal grief story, and I do this because I know the power of storytelling. And, you know, someone might hear you speak today and they might just connect to your story in a way that helps them step onto that path. So would you mind sharing your story with us now?
Of course. My personal grief story happened suddenly and unexpectedly. Life was going on as usual. My husband went on a mountain bike ride on a Saturday afternoon, which he frequently did. And on Saturday evening, authorities came to my house and told me that he was dead. A catastrophic event had happened with his heart on that ride, and he died almost instantly. So I was totally unprepared for grief. I knew nothing about it. I couldn't have been, you know, if I had known some of the things that you have been, that you spoke about when you started, I would have been in such a different place. But I, like so many people, was completely unprepared for grief. And I looked great on the outside. I went back to work a week later because I worked for a small company and there really wasn't anyone at that time who could step in and take my place. You know, I was able to perform my job somehow. You know, I was able to do that. But on the inside and when I was alone, I was just struggling because not only was I dealing with the pain of losing my husband, but the confusion and uncertainty about grief itself, which I knew nothing about. And, you know, I learned, I didn't know at first, but I learned that I had a part to play in my grief story. You know, it wasn't something that just happened to me and there was nothing for me to do. You know, obviously the pain happens to you, but I had to learn that you have to choose to enter into that grieving process and work through the pain and the process, and that I had a part to play. And so there was really a turning point when when I grew tired of the pain and knew that I really wanted to live again. And I began to do those things that you have to do to work through your grief. But the good news for me, and I think for everyone, is, you know, learning that grief is normal and there's a way through it. And not just for me, but for everyone who's facing it and who's willing to work through it. You know, grief is not the end of the story unless you allow it to be.
Mm. That's so true, isn't it? And, you know, I think grief is just like life, and it doesn't happen to us. It's what we make of it, and it's about the choices all the way along.
Mm-hmm.
What were you most surprised to discover as you went through your grief experience about yourself?
Well, I think I was most surprised at the way my viewpoint about grief changed. You know, I didn't know anything about it. And to discover that, you know, it's a normal, natural process, you know, it doesn't, I think it carries a negative connotation, unfortunately, and a big part of that is because, you know, so many of us don't have a clear understanding about it. And so my confusion held me captive until I really learned about it. But when you see, and I came to see grief as a passageway or a pathway, and, you know, came to understand that there are actions that I could take, that everyone can take, to move us further along that pathway toward healing. And so, you know, I began to see grief in a different way. I see it in a totally different way today because I see it that way as a positive action. I mean, we're going to face loss all through life, and grief is that passageway, that pathway that takes us from the pain, you know, to a healthy, happy, joyful life again. So for me, it was really, you know, discovering what grief really is, and that I had a part to play, and that if I played that part, then, you know, it would lead me to a good place.
And you mentioned before that you saw a turning point, or there was a choice point. Do you remember how that came?
You know, I think there were two choice points. I distinctly remember very early. I mean, it was probably the first week after my husband died. I remember myself standing in the kitchen and mentally saying to myself, I am not going to let this loss change the rest of my life in a negative way. I'm not going to become bitter over this. And that was the first. And I think setting my mind, you know, just deciding up front that I was not going to become bitter over that and let it, you know, direct my life in a negative way. That was the first one. And then, you know, of course, you have to go through the painful part. And it took me a while before I really understood grief. So, you know, I was kind of stuck in the pain. And once I made the decision that, you know, I wanted to get better, that I wanted to have a life again, and that I would do whatever I had to do, you know, to make it through that grieving process, that was the second turning point. Just being tired of where I was and realizing, you know, there's something I can do to turn this into a positive thing and work through it. So there were really two turning points.
Yeah, and two very powerful turning points. We're going to move to a break, and when we come back, I'm excited to hear about how you did move through and some of the other choices that you made. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out how to let things go and heal your broken heart? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are here to support you in learning how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate love, loss, grief, and life transitions. If you struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss, or you have a sense that your life could be better than it is, then go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca. There you will see how you can start to experience the joy of living by learning how to let go.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight's episode is titled Grief's Wisdom, and we're being joined by Judy. Judy, before the break, we were talking about the choice points that you had as far as you weren't going to let grief be the end of your story. And so I'm curious, how did your experience of grief change your life moving forward?
Well, I really realized that life doesn't wait for any of us. You know, it's important. I learned that it's important to act when I have an instinct or an intuition or a still small voice speaks to me, however, you know, whatever your term is for that. When I hear that voice that I need to do something or I need to reach out to somebody or there's a change that I need to make, you know, I know that I need to do it. It's important to act because everything can change in an instant, just like it did for me. And, you know, an unseized opportunity may not come again. So I became like so many of us who go through something like this. I became very keenly aware of how fragile life is. And I learned to concentrate on what's important and put the other things on the back burner. So I think that it's really an urgency about life moving forward because, you know, honestly, we don't know what tomorrow brings.
No, we sure don't. And it changes so quickly, doesn't it?
It can change overnight, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, everything can just change in an instant.
Yeah, people can often, when it changes in an instance like that, people can often feel hopeless because their whole world is turned upside down and they have no control anymore, or less control than they had before. So I'm curious, in your experience, how are hope and grief related?
Well, as we talked about a little bit before, I see grief as a passageway, a pathway to healing. So to me, because grief is the way that we get from pain, you know, being able to deal with the pain and be restored and renewed and be able to look forward to the future again and embrace life again, I see grief and hope hopelessly entwined. You know, they just go together. I don't see how you can separate them because grief is the way to move through that pain to, you know, be able to embrace life in the future again. So, you know, that is hope. So
yeah,
see the two completely, you know, permanently intertwined.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's when people lose hope that they get stuck inside their grief. They just, you know, they become hopeless. They can't see a way out. They don't know what the choices are. They're not able to make the choices.
Well, I learned that, you know, sometimes you have to bolster your own hope. You know, you have to just like, you know, changing a negative attitude to a positive one, you know, you have to do things to nurture yourself during this grieving process, and things that will encourage your hope. You know, whether it's talking with someone else, it's, you know, whether it's a spiritual kind of thing that you go through, that was very important to me. You know, whatever it is for you that will encourage you and keep your hope up, you know, you've got to fuel your own hope. It's not necessarily, I think it's always there. You know, sometimes it's buried, you know, a little bit, and you have to, you know, you have to dig for it. But you have to really take charge of your own hope.
Yeah, you sure do. Can you tell us a little bit about the importance of forgiveness? You mentioned that in your book.
You know, I had such an aha moment about forgiveness several years ago. And when I really grasped this concept, it changed everything about it for me. You know, forgiveness has nothing to do with your feelings. You know, sometimes I think we think that everything has to be all worked out and perfect for us to forgive. And if, you know, if we don't feel good about it, then, you know, it hasn't happened. Well, that's just not true. Forgiveness is about a decision. It's a choice that we make. And our feelings may or may not change at the time. You know, forgiveness isn't ignoring something that happened or pretending that it didn't happen. I think sometimes we also get caught up with reconciliation along with that, and reconciliation isn't always possible. That's a separate thing from forgiveness. You know, forgiveness for me was easier to accept when I understood that forgiveness releases a legitimate debt that cannot be repaid. And when we make the choice to let go of that, then, you know, everything, we give up that, those feelings of bitterness and, you know, the negative things that can happen to us when we're unable to forgive someone. We choose to give up our right to punish, you know. So we make a choice to forgive. And our feelings, you know, we may have to make that choice more than once. And our feelings may not come along until later, but, you know, understand that forgiveness is a choice, that we decide to do it. And, you know, the feelings and all of that are a separate issue.
Yeah, I love that.
The forgiveness sets you free. This was huge, too, when I realized that, you know, the prisoner was me. When you forgive, you set the prisoner free, and the prisoner is you. It's not the other person. Often the other person isn't even aware, you know, of the feelings that you have. But when you're able to forgive, you set yourself free.
Yeah, that's so true, and I loved what you said about giving up the right to punish. We so often want that other person to hurt like we hurt.
Yeah.
But like
exactly.
You said, they don't even know that we're holding on to the resentment or...
No,
or the...
And what it's doing is eating us up inside. You know, it's like a poison for us. Mm-hmm. So forgiveness is something that we do for ourselves because it sets us free.
That's right. In your book, you also talk about the mind trap of why. So could you share a little bit about that and why you call it a trap?
Well, it can become a trap when we get stuck there. You know, it's very natural and normal when something bad happens to question, you know, to wonder why. You know, why did this happen, or why did this happen to me, or, you know, a number of why questions. And, you know, that's normal. If we think those thoughts and, you know, go on, that's fine. But sometimes... trying to figure out why becomes an obsession. You know, it turns into something that will be an obstacle to your healing. And, you know, think about it this way. If you knew why, would anything really change? If you knew why, would you grieve less? If you honestly knew why, would it make a difference? And I think if you can you know, if you can look at it in those terms and realize that to most of our why questions, there really are no answers. And if we get caught up and stuck there, then it will slow down or block our healing. So it's important to, yes, you can ask why, and if there's an answer, great. But, you know, is it really going to make a difference? And if it's going to keep you from moving forward, is it worth it?
So much of what you're saying today about grief is, it relates to life too, because we can get stuck in that whole why in the life changes or the life events that we have, not always the loss or the grief events, but things when they change, right? We ask why, and sometimes
right.
we can have an answer of why, and then we know we want to do it differently next time. But
right.
I've seen
learning,
a lot.
Yeah, if you can learn something from it, then great. Ask the question, get an answer, and apply it. But if there's no answer to it, you know, it's really not to your benefit to stay there.
No, you really do have to let it go. We have a couple minutes before the break, but I want to ask you a why question, and it's around your book. Why did you write the book? What was the impetus for it?
I wrote the book because when I started out, grief was, you know, as I told you, I was totally unprepared. I knew nothing about it. And the death of my husband was devastating enough on its own, but my journey was so much more difficult because, you know, in addition to dealing with his death, I was trying to figure out what grief was and what was happening to me. And, you know, it was just everything that I was feeling and everything about it and myself was so foreign to what was normal that, you know, I didn't even know. Well, I was afraid, like so many people, that I was going crazy. So because I learned so much through this process and I've come in contact with so many people since that time, by leading some grief support groups and things like that, I just wanted to write a book that would help people immediately, you know, they could go to one place and just understand more about grief and about themselves and about how to get through this process in an easier way than it was for me. I just felt, after having learned all that, it was, I just, you know, I wanted to share it because it made such a difference in my life when I understood and was able to then move forward because of what I had come to understand.
And I think that's kind of what we find with a lot of tragic losses, right? They call us forward
yes.
to learn something and then to share it with others.
Yes.
I know your book is available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then how can people get in touch with you?
The best way is through my website, which is, the address is stunnedbygrief.com. You can find out about the book and the journal there. You can see how you can purchase it. There's lots of great resources on the website that are, you know, available to people at no cost. Almost 80 articles on my blog about all sorts of different things about grief. So there's a lot of information there, and they can contact me there too.
Great.
So that's really the best place.
Okay, well, we're going to take a couple-minute break, and then we're going to come back and continue to talk about grief's wisdom.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating, overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out what your purpose is? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are all here to learn how to embrace pain and darkness, and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate a myriad of grief experiences and life transitions. It takes a willingness to do something different than you've done before, to learn how to let go in order to love and live fully. If you or someone you know struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss and you don't know what to do about it, go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca to see how you can learn to let go and experience the joy of living.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight's episode is titled Grief's Wisdom, and we're being joined by Judy. Judy, before the break, we were talking about your perspective and how that changed. What are some of the things that you've noticed now, because it's been a little while, compared to when you first entered into that grief experience? How have things changed for you?
Well, to me, this is a picture for me. Grief was like a giant magnifying glass, a spotlight, and a megaphone, all at the same time. You know, I don't see how you can face life and death or any other devastating loss without being really almost jolted abruptly into seeing what is really important and what is not worth your time or, you know, worth getting upset over. Grief really magnified things for me. It revealed life in a really basic way. You know, pretense was wiped away. Things that were senseless or just didn't matter, you know, it was obvious right away, and they were just discarded. And what really, really was important became key to me. And so I really changed the way I look at life. And once, you know, I decided to reengage in life again fully, you know, there were all kinds of changes that, you know, that I had to decide to make, just like everyone when they reach that point. So, you know, it's a matter of all sorts of changes, small ones in my life. You know, I began to try new things. I went out more. I took an active part. You know, there were all sorts of, a lot of uncomfortable things that I had to do. But, you know, change is not always easy. In fact, most of the time it isn't. And we have to step outside of our comfort zone to, you know, to really, to reengage in life after loss. So I think everything just took on more importance and more significance. And, you know, after going through that grief experience, I really had a sense of wanting my life to matter, you know, of doing something of significance for other people. And because of what I had been through, you know, to make a difference, more so than I had ever felt before.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about the changes, you know, people often say the first of everything that you do after loss is the hardest. Do you remember some of the things that you did to help you get through those firsts, to make those changes?
Well, holidays were, a huge first. And to get through those first holidays, we really changed what we did. It was too painful to try to do things the way we always had, because it seemed like it would just be more evident, you know, that my husband wasn't there. So we changed up what we did. We changed the way we celebrated holidays, even where, because, and that really made a huge difference.
I was just going to say, when you've changed what you do, I would imagine, though, that you still remember him at those events, just in a different way?
It's impossible not to. And we were never afraid to, you know, to talk about him, because he always will be a part of, you know, of our family's life. But, we didn't pretend that, you know, that he had never been a part of what we were doing, and we were free to talk about him. But we just, instead of, say, having dinner, Thanksgiving dinner at our house and, you know, sitting around the table as we always had, you know, maybe we went to another relative's house, or maybe we went out to a restaurant, you know, to celebrate at some point. We just changed things up because we had our rituals that we had always had, and it just seemed too painful to go through those without him.
Mm-hmm. I think what you say is really important, though, for people to hear, is that often people want to avoid talking about the person because they don't want to hurt or upset someone else who's at the table, right? And I think...
That's the elephant in the room. Everybody is thinking about it anyway, you know, and everybody is upset anyway. And it just really, you know, if you can say to, you know, the people that you're with, it's okay, you know, if we talk about John, because, you know, you can ask questions, you can share stories, it's okay to talk about him, you know, because we're all thinking about him anyway, and we miss him, you know, and just let people know. And I think you're the person who has to do that, because they're taking their cue from you. And, you know, if you say it's okay, or you encourage them to be able to share their feelings or their stories or whatever, then they'll feel free to do that. And let everybody know, you know, if a few tears flow, they just flow. You know, that's just what happens when you care about somebody. And don't feel uncomfortable or bad about that, because, you know, it's just part of this process.
And that's what you and I are both trying to do, isn't it? We're trying to normalize it for people so that they can be okay with their emotions and with their memories.
Yes. I think what's so difficult, you know, I've come in contact with people who, as children, lost people in their families, and they weren't allowed to talk about those people in their home ever again. And this one man told me, you know, that was so difficult. We could never bring it up. We could never mention, you know, the person or share our feelings. And it was just this uncomfortable, you know, terrible thing to not even be able to say their name. So, you know, it's not a good thing to, you know, to try to do that.
No, my girls are 20 and 16 now. They were, 13 and 9 when my dad passed away. And a couple of times I would say, I miss my dad. And my oldest daughter would say, Mom, don't. And it was more that she didn't want to, you know, she didn't want me to go there. I think she was afraid I was going to cry. But mm-hmm. I said to her, imagine if I didn't miss him. You know, mm-hmm. what would his life have been about if I didn't mm-hmm. miss him? So mm-hmm. I think it's good
to
encourage.
You know, the tears in the tears and those feelings are all part of love, and that's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed of or, you know, or anything. In fact, it's a gift.
It really is, isn't it? And if we could see it that way and embrace it mm-hmm. that way, it would make things a lot easier.
Yes.
So why do you say that death and loss can be our greatest teachers?
Well, it certainly changed my perspective, you know, the way I look at life, the way I live. You know, once you've come in contact with the lessons that you learn through death and loss, you can't go back. You know, you can't forget or unlearn the things that you learned because they're so important. I read a quote a few days ago by Helen Keller, and I think it just really speaks to this question that you've asked. You know, she said, character cannot be developed in peace and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. You know, I don't like the fact, especially, that we seem to grow the most during adversity. You know, that's not comfortable. Death and loss are surely two of the most difficult things that we'll ever face in life. But we can't help but learn things about ourselves when we go through experiences like that. You know, I don't believe we know really that we really have a sense of how strong we are until we're put to the test. You know, we don't know what we can really do until we're put in a position where we have to do it. Grief is a powerful process, and when you work through the grief, the things that you learn become blessings. You know, you learn things about yourself. You see that, you know, that you're stronger than you thought you were, that you can do things you didn't know you could do. For me, part of it was I needed to find some purpose in that pain that I went through. And for myself, there were two things that I really gained insight into. For other people, you know, it will be different. But for me, it was insight into living life more fully, and it was a closer relationship to God. Because without my faith, I don't personally know how I could have gotten through that. You know, again, the things that other people learn may be different from what I learned, but when you go through a situation like that, you are going to learn things about yourself. There's just, I don't see how you can't.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying about faith and trust, it's really important for people to know, right, and to accept that this has happened and they're going to get through it, and so then how are they going to get through it? And having the trust and the belief that everything is happening perfectly, it's all unfolding the way it's supposed to, even though they might not want it to be that way, once they can embrace it, then it's a little easier going, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's important to look at that experience and ask yourself, you know, what difference has it made going through that? What difference has it made in my life, in myself, in how I view other people or the world? You know, those questions are, they're important, and those are the kind of questions that answers will come out of through an experience of adversity like facing death and loss.
Yeah, and you said before too about being comfortable, and it is always in those loss experiences, those big tragedies, the traumatic events, the big changes, that is where we grow. And life would be pretty boring if we weren't growing. Not that I'm saying I'm wishing tragedy or anything like that on people, but it really is true that we have to go through it in order to grow and learn more about ourselves.
It is true. I'm not crazy about the fact either, but it is true. And, you know, we learn resilience. We learn, you know, we get stronger. We get more confidence. There are all kinds of things that come out of, you know, going through a tough time like that.
Yeah, we're going to move to a break again, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your book. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you experienced loss, either recent or long ago? Are you trying to escape from your emotional pain by self-medicating overeating, overdrinking, oversleeping, or overspending? Do you feel stuck? Do you wonder what your life would be like if you could just figure out how to let things go and heal your broken heart? All Seasons Coaching recognizes the fundamental truth that we can't love and live without experiencing loss and grief. We are here to support you in learning how to embrace pain and darkness and restore joy and light as gracefully as nature accepts change. All Seasons Coaching offers a variety of tools, workshops, and coaching services designed to facilitate love, loss, grief, and life transitions. If you struggle to enjoy life due to painful memories of loss, or you have a sense that your life could be better than it is, then go to www.allseasonscoaching.ca. There you will see how you can start to experience the joy of living by learning how to let go.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to 50 Shades of Grief with Melody Dawn. She'd love to hear from you. Send her an email to melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Again, that's melody@allseasonscoaching.ca. Now, back to 50 Shades of Grief.
Welcome back. Tonight's episode is titled Grief Wisdom, and we're being joined by Judy Brizendine. Judy, some people might feel like grief is the end of their story. And I'd like you to share what you think about that.
Well, early on, I questioned whether grief was the end of my story. You know, I think when we're consumed by the pain at first, we really aren't thinking beyond that at first. You know, we're not thinking about the end of the story at that point. We're just trying to get through the day. But I've learned through my own experience and through the experiences of many other people that grief doesn't have to define your life in a negative way. There are so many positives that come out of going through that grief experience. You know, I would just say, you know, turn your grief into hope for the future. You know, allow it to make you stronger and more compassionate. Look forward to the next chapter and the next one after that. Grief doesn't have to be the end of your story unless you choose for it to be. You know, we really make those choices ourselves about whether we're willing to pay the price to face the pain, to work through the grieving process so that we can get past that point of pain and really embrace the future again. That's a choice we make. And
yeah.
So I would just say, you know, make that choice, choose life, you know, whatever you have to do. You know, at some point when I really realize, you know, I want to live again, I want to fully live again, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get there, then, you know, that was really a huge turning point for me. But I had to make that choice. You know, I could have stayed in that negative place if I had chosen to do that. But, you know, life is so precious, and each of us can make that choice for ourselves. Grief doesn't have to be the end of the story.
No, and it definitely is a choice, and it takes effort sometimes. It takes a lot of glorious effort to get up in the morning and choose life.
It does.
But I think that's where people get stuck, is if they resist what is, and they try to get over it versus going through it. I think from my experience, that would be the big thing that I would say, is people who try to get over it and intellectually convince themselves that they're over it, later on the emotions come back and they have to deal with them in a bigger way sometimes.
You know, I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks to healing is a resistance to change or an inability to change. Because anytime there's a loss, change goes right along with it. you know, there is a change when you lose something or someone, and a big part of the grieving process is, figuring out, learning ways to adapt your life to those changes. You know, the fact is, there's nothing you can do about what happened. You know, as much as you wish that things were different, you know, you have a reality that's true. And really, you have to learn to adjust to those changes in order to be able to move forward and embrace life again. And it's not easy all the time. You know, it's not easy at all. But, you know, whatever you have to do, whether it's, you know, somebody who's a support for you, an encourager for you, encourage yourself, whatever you have to do, you know, it's choose life. Don't let grief be the end.
That's beautiful. And I think the journal that you wrote is one tool, right, or a resource for people? Could you
share a little bit about that? Yes, I wrote it to go along with the book as a companion, but it can also stand alone. And what it is a very simple, straightforward way to help you work through the grief issues and understand them. There's one page for each day of 6 months of days, and each page will have a little thought on it that has to do with grief. And there's a quote or a Bible verse and, you know, something that you're thankful for to fill in, and just a little reflection by me about whatever the topic is. And the goal is that you would just write about whatever comes out of your heart, you know, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you can't get out of your mind, whatever, you know, you're upset about or happy about or whatever is on your mind and in your heart. The idea is to just write freely about it and get those feelings up and out in the open so you can release them. You know, journaling is a very powerful tool, and it really will help you to heal. And, you know, it's not a hard thing to do. This, you know, this journal is very easy. It's not a bunch of questions you have to answer or anything. The whole goal is just to get you to write about what's on your heart.
And that's available on Amazon as well, right?
It is, and it's available through the website. It's available through Barnes & Noble, through, you know, just about anywhere that you can purchase books. You can find that out on the website. It's very easy to get. So just check stunnedbygrief.com, and you'll be able to find it.
Wonderful. So we're just about to wrap up here, and just want to ask you of any final words of wisdom that you'd like to share.
I think the final thing is, you know, set your mind, don't give up. Just keep going, you know, one step at a time. You know, you don't have to worry about how fast or, you know, it's not a race. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other and decide that you're not going to give up. And, you know, there's something very powerful about making that decision and just knowing that regardless of what happens, you're going to keep going. You're going to get through that. So, you know, just don't give up.
Don't give up and choose life, you said earlier. Choose
life. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's important for people to know, too, that, you know, I've talked several times about the myths of grief and that time doesn't heal. It's what you do in that time, and so mm-hmm. what you were saying is always be in action, always be taking a step forward, get up in the morning and look at it. You know, what can you do next to move through it, not get over it, because there is no getting over it. You really do have to travel through it.
You know, there's just one other thing I would say. You know, there was a time early on when, you know, I didn't have the will for myself to go on. And I wasn't even sure that I could. But I had a daughter who had just lost her father, and she was still a young woman. You know, I knew that I had to keep going for her, because she had already lost her dad. You know, she couldn't lose me too. And so until I had the will for myself to go on, it was my will for her that drove me on. So whether you have the will within yourself or you have to borrow that from somewhere else, you know, latch on to what you can that will keep you going until your own, you know, strong will to live kicks in.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight and for sharing your grief's wisdom and your story. I think that there's a lot of wisdom in what you said, and I think when people listen to this, they will really get that they're not alone and that there is a path through it and there's many resources. And so I just want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
All right. So this week, I'd like to invite our listeners to reflect on your own journey through grief. And I'd like to ask you, what do you know about yourself now that you didn't know before? What pearls of wisdom has your own loss and grief experience revealed to you? What courageous steps do you want to acknowledge yourself for taking? And are you ready to take that next courageous step in your own grief journey by contacting me or Judy to discuss our services? From my heart to yours, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us this week. 50 Shades of Grief with your host, Melody Dawn, can be heard live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Please tune in next week to learn more.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.